first chapter of the Gospel of John. We would tonight like to consider verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." When we looked at John's Christ-centered life this morning, we concentrated primarily upon why John was sent. We noted the man. The Lord is pleased to use men in his service. We noted his ministry. The task that was given him to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. And the tidings that he had to give to the people about the light, the word, the Lord, and the Lamb, and the Son of God. We considered also his treasure. The many souls that he saw won for the Lord Jesus. Then we noted the Master and how he was doing business for his Master. And how he had a heart that was on fire and a countenance that was as bright as the Lord Jesus, because he had the joy of the Lord in his heart and his face shone with that joy within his heart. Now tonight we want to consider what John said. You've seen why John was sent. Now what John said. And after having baptized the Lord Jesus, he addresses the crowd gathered there at Jordan. And he says to them, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And here we have John once again honoring Christ. These words reveal much about the heart, the mind, indeed the very soul and character of this great man, John the Baptist. John was held in high esteem by all who knew him. But he sacrificed the honor of men that Christ might be honored instead. Mark again what he said, "He that cometh after me is preferred." Is preferred before me. For he was before me. You will notice that John made this statement three times there in verse 15. Verse 27, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And again in verse 30, John says, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me." John the Baptist was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in his flesh. And yet, speaking of Christ, John said here, "He was before me." So that tells us that John had a deep knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He knew that Christ, even though he was born after John, yet Christ was before John. And this shows that he must have had a true conception of the Savior's nature. The Lord Jesus, of course, was indeed before John. Revelation 22, verse 16 tells us also that he was before David. And John 8 and verse 58, the Lord informs his hearers there that he was before Abraham. So he's before John, he's before David, he's before Abraham. And lo and behold, in Colossians 1 verse 17, The Apostle Paul informs us that Jesus Christ was before all things. Before John, before David, before Abraham, yea, before all things. Now this shows us that John believed and preached the divine nature of Christ. Because that is what these words teach. That the Lord Jesus was before Abraham, for he said, before Abraham was, I am. Using the incommunicable name of God. Before Abraham was, I am. That name that the Lord gave to Moses when he was going up to face Pharaoh. And he said, whom shall I say has sent me? And God speaking to Moses at the burning bush, tell him that I am has sent you. Tell him that God has sent you. And here's the Lord Jesus in chapter 8 of John and verse 58, telling his hearers that he is God. Before Abraham was, I am. Christ uses the same name. The name for God. And this is the message that John preached, and this was the Christ that John preached. John preached that Jesus Christ indeed God, that he was before all things. But mark something else here. Look at John 1 and verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So not only did John believe and preach the divine nature of Christ, he also preached the dual nature of Christ. That the Lord Jesus is God and he's also man. He's the God-man. And my, what a great Christ-honoring ministry John had. And they honor Christ who preach him to be the Son of God, who preach him to be God the Son, who preach him to be the God-man. All who preach Christ as the God-man honor Christ. And here you have John honoring the Lord Jesus. What did John say? John said that there is one that cometh after me who is preferred before me. He was before me. And in those words, John honors Jesus Christ. He's preferred before me because he was before me. And those who do not preach the divinity of Christ, that he has a divine nature and a human nature, they dishonor the Lord. Mormons dishonor the Lord. Jehovah Witnesses dishonor the Lord. The apostate, the modernist, that denies the deity of Christ, dishonor the Lord. They are false prophets. Over in 2 John, John tells us, for many deceivers are entered into the world, verse 7, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, Jesus, Savior, Christ the Anointed One, Christ the Messiah. They confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Those who deny the deity of Christ, they have the spirit of Antichrist in them. They have the spirit of Antichrist. They are against Christ. John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Sometimes you hear of Christians, and they invite Mormons into their house, and they invite Jehovah Witnesses into their house to debate these matters. I tell you something, these matters are not open for debate. And the Lord, through John here, tells us we're not even to bid them Godspeed. We're not to bring them into our houses. The door is as far as they get. Because I tell you something, whenever you get these Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and they come to your door, they are not interested in the truth. They're no more interested in the truth than the devil himself is. And the truth is that Jesus Christ and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses deny the deity of Christ. They're not interested and been told that Jesus Christ is God. So we don't even bid them the time of day. We don't say to them, Godspeed, and we most certainly don't invite them into our homes. That is the teaching of Scripture upon that matter. But John honored Christ. And dear believer, let us, like John, whenever we can, honor the Lord Jesus. Let us honor Him. The things that we say and the things we preach, and the report that we give, and the witness that we bear, that we always honor the Lord Jesus. John honored Christ. Next thing we notice is John's humility before Christ. If John was impressed by the humility of the Lord Jesus, as we noted this morning, then we must be impressed with the humility of John. This can be seen not only in that verse 15 that is repeated in two other places, but also we see the humility of John in the answers that he gave to the priests and the Levites who were sent out into the wilderness to inquire as to his identity. Look at verse 19 of John 1. And he said unto them, verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. They asked him again, art thou that prophet? And they were referring in all probability to the prophet that Moses spoke about who would rise up. And Moses was referring to the Lord Jesus. But they said to him, art thou that prophet? So they were familiar with the writings of Moses. And they knew that Moses had spoken about a prophet who would rise up. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What saith thou of thyself? Tell us about yourself. We want to know. Tell us about yourself. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Here's the humility of John. As they question him, notice how brief his answers were. "Who art thou?" He said, "I am not the Christ." Verse 21, "Art thou Elias?" "I am not." 3 words. "Art thou that prophet?" Just 1 word. "No." That's all he had to say. And when he did give an answer, apart from these short, brief answers, the longest answer he gave was a scriptural answer. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." What a wonderful picture we have here of a truly humble servant of God. John was not the man to say much about himself. Short, even one word answer. And the most he said about himself was really what Isaiah had said about him. He didn't say a great deal about himself. But he's a lot to say about the Lord Jesus. His chief desire was to speak of his Lord. That's why he was sent. And that's what he had to say. All that he had to say was about the Savior. A preacher by the name of the Reverend David Davies, preacher of a bygone age, tells the story of a gentleman who went out one Sabbath day to listen to 2 distinguished preachers. He went to the church of one of them in the morning, went to the church of the other in the evening. The Reverend Davies said that when he made a record of his experience of that Sabbath day, quote, "In the morning, I could not see the master for the man. In the evening, I could not see the man for the master." I guarantee he enjoyed the ministry of the man that he had heard at night, because he couldn't see the man, but he saw much of the master. And you look at the ministry of John the Baptist, and in this narrative that we have here in John 1, we see more of Jesus than we do of John. John said very little about himself. Oh, for this humility. Oh, for this spirit of John to be in us. And we'll have very little to say about self. Instead, all of our saying will be about the Savior. Why don't you love this man, John the Baptist? Not only see John honoring Christ, and John's humility before Christ, but we see his honesty and Christ. You notice again in those responses to the questions that were put to him by the priests and Levites, just how honest, straight down the line, honest that John was. The language of verse 20 is very emphatic. And John was emphatic when he said, I am not. I am not. I am not the Christ. John had come to prepare the way for Christ. He came to bear witness concerning Christ. He spoke about Christ. He preached Christ. And now he makes it very clear, I am not the Christ. And here we see, in this great man John, that in this answer, it shows that he did not want to take any glory from the Lord Jesus at all. He did not want to take any glory to himself, which rightly belonged to the Master, the Lord Jesus. And he was saying to those people who came out to speak to him, I want you to know and I want you to understand, I am not the Christ. Who am I? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's who I am. I'm just a voice. Christ is the Word, and I'm just a voice. Responding to the other questions, he said, I am not, that is Elias. And to the question regarding that prophet, he said, no. And all these responses by John are all emphatic. And we see here the integrity of John. Here was John and he was likened unto Elijah. Indeed, as we know, that he was so like Elijah that the Lord Jesus called him Elijah. And the Jews who were familiar with the words of Malachi, where the prophet said that Elijah would come before the Messiah would come, saw John as indeed Elijah. Now, when we read the life of Elijah, we cannot help but be impressed. Elijah was a mighty man. Why wouldn't we love to have more men like Elijah today? We'd love to have Elijahs in this day in which we live. And just to be likened unto Elijah would be most flattering. To be likened to Elijah, to be seen as Elijah, would indeed be flattering indeed. And yet when John was asked, art thou Elias, art thou Elijah? John said very emphatically, I am not. You know, some men might have quibbled a bit over this. Well, some think maybe I am Elijah. Some think I'm like Elijah. And some men might have quibbled over the whole thing and got as much out of it as they could and gained as much credit for themselves as the occasion seemed to justify. But John, once again, instead, wanted all the attention to be on the Lord Jesus. He did not want to take any of the attention away from the Savior. John said, I am not the Christ. Don't give any honor to me. Give it to the Lord Jesus. I am not the Christ. Don't praise me. Praise the Lord Jesus. I am not the Christ. Don't magnify me or my name. Magnify Christ. And don't liken me or think that I am Elijah, for I am not. And don't think of me as being that prophet of whom Moses spoke. No, I'm not him either. I'm just a voice. And when John identified himself, he didn't even use his own name. He just says, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. So now we have seen why John was sent. We've also seen what John said. Now we consider what John saw. We've emphasized the point that all that John did in his words, in his works, in his life, in his labors, he focused on the Lord Jesus. This is wonderfully highlighted by what he saw. And here we have, first of all, John looking. Turn your attention to verse 29 of John chapter 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming on to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John seeth Jesus. Now I go down to verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw, referring to the Savior's baptism, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Once again, John is looking to Christ. John seeth Jesus coming. Then verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. His eyes are upon Christ. Verse 33, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. But look again, verse 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Now what wonderful verses we have here which describe this wonderful great man John. He has his eyes always on the Lord Jesus. He had seen the Lord Jesus at his baptism. His eyes were upon Christ at his baptism. And then it says in verse 29, the next day, where's John's eyes? Again, they're still on Christ the next day. And then we come down to verse 35 again. The next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus, he still has his eyes on the Lord. Day after day after day after day. John has his eyes on Christ. Here we have what John saw. And again, this is consistent the life, labors, ministry, witness, and report of John the Baptist. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what Paul exhorted us all to do? Hebrews 12, verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And dear child of God tonight, how much more happy Christians would be if they kept looking unto Jesus. How many problems and battles and troubles in churches would be avoided if men just kept their eyes upon Jesus Christ? How many more burdens would be lightened? We can so easily get our eyes on men. And my, when we get our eyes on men, we'll see all their faults and their failings. We'll see their sin. Get our eyes on ourselves. We'll look into our own hearts and we behold our own behavior. And my, it depresses us. Nothing will depress you more than looking into your own life and seeing your own failures and shortcomings. Oh, believer, look to Jesus. You'll not find one failure in Christ, not one shortcoming, not one sin. Nothing you see in Christ that will grieve you, nothing at all. Why, it will bless your soul. Keep looking to Jesus. John did that. Day after day. Looking on to Jesus. Looking on to Jesus. Looking on to Jesus. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. When Satan tempts you and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in His strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Notice something else in John's looking. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look at verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Do you notice something? John is looking to Christ. And as he looks to Christ, what does he say to all around him? He says, behold, the Lamb of God. In other words, he wanted others to look as well. He's looking to Christ. And he wants others to look also. You know, if you were out at night with a number of your friends, maybe going out for a walk on a nice clear night and you see some spectacular happening up there in the sky. What would you do? You'd say, look. Look at that. You would want them to look. When we look to Christ, do we not want others to look as well? When we see the Lord Jesus, do we not want others to see Him too? As we look to Christ, would we not say to those around us, behold, look, the Lamb of God. taketh away the sin of the world. So we have John looking. Then we have John learning. Now, we've already pointed out that John knew a great deal about the Lord Jesus. After all, he had come to be a witness unto the light of the world. He had come to speak about Christ in the Word. He had come and spoken about the Lord, crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. He spoke about the Lamb of God. And yet, John wasn't altogether sure of the true identity of the Lord. He wasn't sure, was this indeed the Messiah? He was saying, most certainly when Messiah comes, he'll be the Word. He will be the light. He will be the Lord. He will be the Lamb. He believed that and he preached that. But when he saw the Lord, he wasn't sure. Is this the Messiah? Is this really Messiah? You look there, verse 31. And I knew him not. John said. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. He knew that part. He knew that Messiah, when he would come, would be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And then John makes reference to his baptism, the Savior's baptism, and what he saw at the Savior's baptism. Remember we said this morning that it was important to take note of what John saw at the baptism of Christ. And here's why it's important. Look at verse 33. He says again, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. In other words, John, at the baptism of the Lord, when he saw the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove and resting on the Lord Jesus, he had been told, upon whom the Spirit of God rests, you'll know that is he. You'll know he's the Messiah. He wasn't too sure prior to that, but he knew. It was revealed to him at his baptism. Something here we should point out. John was a first cousin of the Lord. Yet he knew not that he was the Messiah. What does that teach us? Teaches us that relationship to Christ after the flesh does not carry with it a spiritual knowledge of Christ. There are many today have a relationship with Christ after the flesh. They will say that they are Christians quite simply because of their good works, because of their church attendance. It's all after the flesh. They have this relationship. It's after the flesh. But that relationship does not carry with it any spiritual knowledge of Christ. work of the Holy Spirit. And here's John learning. He's learning more about the Lord Jesus. His knowledge of the Lord Jesus is increasing. And believer, I want you to notice that three things combined to reveal Christ to John. Look again at verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. There's the word. The word came to John. God spoke to John and told him about the baptism, the one upon whom he would see the Spirit of God descending. You would know that person is indeed Messiah. So it was the word that led John into a deeper knowledge of Christ and his true identity. Look again at verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending. So not only was the word used, but the Spirit of God also. And so the word led John into a deeper knowledge of Christ. The Spirit of God led John into a deeper knowledge of Christ. And then thirdly, verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. You have three things. You have the Word, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have John's own looking to Christ. Dear Christian, tonight, if you and I want to gain a deeper knowledge of the Lord, and I trust that we all do, then we must follow John's example. The work of the Spirit of God is to reveal Christ to us. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Turn, please, to the Gospel of John, or on over in the Gospel of John, I should say. In verse 26 of chapter 15, John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Of me. And that's important. The Spirit of God will not testify of himself. Contrary to what the charismatics believe and would have you to believe today and what they teach today. No, the work of the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Spirit, is to speak of Christ. And that's why we've often said the Spirit-filled man is a man who will exalt Christ. Who will preach Christ? And the Lord Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, he shall testify of me. Look at John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. There's the word. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. That's an important point and an important truth that we should underline with regard to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. And it was the Holy Spirit that was used at Christ's baptism that led John into a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit and the Word. For he who had sent John to baptize said unto John, was the Word. And also what John saw, he had his eyes on Christ. And so, believer, if you want to know more about the Lord Jesus, seek the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And get into the Word. It is the Word that reveals the Lord Jesus to us. As we quoted those words this morning, we read in Luke 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ is in the book. Christ is in the Word. The Word will lead you to Christ. The Spirit of God will lead you to Christ. And let us keep our eyes on Christ. Search the Scriptures. The Lord said to the Jews, "In them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." You know, I believe that's why so many Christians have such a shallow knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because they spend so little time in the Word. So little time. They just skid over the surface. Read a few verses and it'll do the job for the day. No, it won't do if we want to know more about the Lord. And then finally we have not only his looking, his learning, but we have his Lord. You notice how the knowledge that John had of the Lord Jesus increased there. In that verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." This is really him. This is the one. Now he bears record that Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God. See, once again, John began with Christ. John finishes with Christ. And everything in between is all about Christ. May our lives begin and end with the Lord Jesus. A Christ-centered life. May we live it to the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we come again to Thee and we bless Thee for the Word. We thank Thee for this Word, for this book. We love this book, Lord, because of so many, many things, but most of all because in this book we see Jesus. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Lord, we know that our dear Savior is to be found in all the Scriptures. We know there's not a book in all of God's Word where Christ is absent, but He's there. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou will grant us the help, the aid of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, who will lead us into all truth. May He lead us into all the Word, that Lord, we might study it, meditate upon it, and every time we do so, may we see no man save Jesus only. And may that be so in our lives. May the world, Lord, look upon us and see no man save Jesus only. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. Bless our work and our witness. O God, we need Thee. Will Thou not answer prayer? Grant us the desire of our hearts. Give us, Lord, that little reviving that we might rejoice in Thee. Keep Thy hand upon us, dear Lord, for good. Remember the sick. Remember those on holidays. Remember those that are going. Bless them and keep Thy hand upon them for good. And those, Lord, that remain by the stuff. And, O Lord, even as it was in David's day, they will be rewarded too. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.